doing that. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. As Miss June was playing that offertory, I was thinking of that the old show Andy Griffith. How many have watched the Andy Griffith show? Amen. Most of us. If you haven't, you're missing out. Amen. And you haven't lived life until you've watched the Andy Griffith show. But I remember, I believe it was Opie, and he said that he knew what God's name was. And so, what's God's name? And he said, his name is Andy, because the song says, Andy walks with me, Andy talks with me. Amen. And then another one of the older shows, I can't remember which one it is, but they said that God's name was Howard, because it says, Our Father that art in heaven, Howard be thy name. Amen. And it's just, you know, out of the mouths of babes. Kids come up with all kinds of stuff. But I appreciate that offertory that Miss June played this morning. And he does walk with us, he talks with us, and he tells us that we are his own. Amen? And such a great relationship we have with the Lord. But Hebrews chapter 11, just going to be looking at one verse here today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. And notice the Bible says this, By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I told Jacob here this morning when I went up there and was shaking the kids' hands, I said, hey, I'm going to be preaching about you today, and you're not even going to be up here. Amen. You'll be downstairs. We're going to be talking about Jacob today and see what the Lord can teach us from Jacob's faith. Amen. So let's pray, and we'll get started here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and we do thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity we have just to hear from your word and just to learn. Lord, I know that your word is given to us, and it is to be a light unto our feet, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to follow your word. Lord, we know that your word is what guides us through life. And Lord, we need your word to help us, Lord, to show us where we're wrong and to show us what is right. And Lord, I pray that we would follow your word and, Lord, just be faithful to you each and every day of our lives. If there's anyone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray they'd come to know you today and help us, Lord, to grow in our faith today. And I ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in this passage, we, of course, see a name mentioned in this verse. And as we've been going through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we've been talking about a lot of names. We're talking about the faith that these people have had, and every one of these ones that we've talked about, they've had something in common. Their names haven't been in common, but the one who they have placed their trust in has all been the same God, the God of Israel, the God of heaven, amen. And hopefully it's that is who you have placed your faith in today. But we see here in verse 21, by faith, Jacob. And remember, last week, as we were in this chapter, we talked about Isaac, and we talked about Jacob, and we talked about Esau, and we talked about the birthright that Isaac gave unto Jacob, and why was it given unto him instead of Esau? Well, because there was some deception there. There were some things that were not the way that they should have been, but it all worked out in God's plan. God's will is going to be done. And we just get to have the opportunity. We can be a part of God's will if we follow God's will. Amen. But God's will is going to be done in this world. So let's follow him and be a part of that. But the birthright that Isaac gave to Jacob included the truth that the Messiah would come through that seed. It was going to come there. But either way, Jacob received the birthright, a double blessing. Esau was upset about that, and rightfully so. If something was promised to us, but through deception it was given to someone else, I think we would all be upset about that. None of us would be okay with that. But today, notice we've skipped over Jacob's life from where he was at the time the birthright was given to him. There's an awful lot that's said about this man, Jacob, in the book of Genesis and things that he went through and all of that. And he was a deceiver, and the Lord did some things through his life. But now, as we look at Jacob, not taking into account the things that have happened throughout the middle of his life, but seeing Jacob there with the getting the birthright from his father, and now seeing him here evidently at the end of his life. Notice here, we see that though there was much deception, we could say some things about what Jacob did were founded on faith. And he's commended here for his faith. Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. None of us are perfect. Everyone that we read about in the Bible, save the Lord Jesus Christ himself, everyone else, none of them were perfect. They were all sinners. They were sinners just like you and I. However, as we read through the chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, we see that these people here, they were commended for their faith. So I want to preach to you a message this morning that I've entitled this, The Faith of Jacob. That's been the theme, if you will, as we've gone through this chapter, the faith of this person or of that person. And it's my desire today to see how we can live a life of faith. Notice, despite our failures, despite our shortcomings, we can live a life of faith if we will follow the Lord and bless others with our faith. And that should be our desire, like we see with Jacob, all the way until the time of our death. Our desire should be that we would be a people of faith. So notice here, as we see in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. First of all, this morning, I want us to look at here the power of Jacob's faith. There was a power here in his faith that every single one of us, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior here this morning, every one of us have that power within us. But are we using that power? Are we allowing our faith to be a powerful faith? And here we see over and over again in the book of Hebrews and all throughout the Bible discusses over and over again that there is faith. And as you study faith and you read over those passages, you're going to find that in every passage in which faith is discussed, whether the word faith is used there or just the things that we see that people did by faith, we see that they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They did that by faith. We see that they came out of Egypt with a high hand. We see that that the Apostle Paul, he stayed faithful to the Lord. All of these things that we see throughout the Bible in which faith is present there, we see one common thread, and that is this: power in that faith. Whose power is it? It's not the power of the individuals. It's the power of the God in which they have placed their faith. As you study a person's faith, you find that faith in God gives them the power to overcome certain things, to make it through trials, to keep their eyes on Christ. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a godly power that is woven throughout the Bible when we look at the area of faith. You know, the substance that it talks about there, the substance of things hoped for, that substance is something we can hold on to. It gives us something that is tangible, if you will. We can hold on to the power of God. We can hold on to who God is. We can hold on to what the Bible says about God. This faith that we have in God is not just some faith in some mysterious person somewhere in the universe. No, God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. He's here with us. He's everywhere with us. And we can hold on to who God is. It's a substance we can hold on to. And what a wonderful thing that is, because in a world that is seems as though it's like sinking sand and falling down all around us, what a privilege it is as believers that we have something that we can stay hold on to and stay strong with. That's the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's only through faith. There is strength there. There is power there. The evidence of things not seen is a powerful thing as well. And here's why. Because it's speaking of what we know to be true about God and His Word, even though we haven't laid our eyes upon our God as of yet. There's power in faith. There is power there. And by many believers, that power has been left untapped. You know, no one sitting in this room here has seen God? No one. But we've seen the power of God. We've seen God work through things. We know that based on our belief on the Word of God, knowing that this is true, that that there is a heaven, that there is a God, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross for us. We know that the Bible says that if you trust Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to heaven. That's a truth that is taught from the Bible itself. We know those things. And what a wonderful thing it is as believers to know that we serve a God who is all-powerful. In this world we live in, there's a huge push towards physical fitness. And of course, it started just before COVID, and then when COVID happened and all of that, we know of that there was a lot of gyms that shut down and those types of things because everything that was touched and, you know, all of those sorts of things. There's nothing wrong with physical fitness. Now, the issue is that though there's nothing wrong with physical fitness and losing weight and being healthy, though that's a good thing to do, many people have made it their God. And not only unbelievers, but many believers have as well. They focus more on their own body than they do on the things of God. And there's a problem there. When a person, understand this, when a person can spend hours in the gym but only have minutes with God, priorities are wrong. Lord, help us. Now, there's something wrong in a person's life if that is how they are. Now, I am not against physical fitness at all. I think it's a wonderful thing. But there's a disconnect in the mind of a believer when we focus more on physical strength and what we can do than we do on the strength of our faith and what God can do. Lord, help us. You know, when we're going through a trial, it seems like we're in the middle of a storm and the storm clouds are all around us, and it seems as though the waves are going to overtake us, and we are in what Psalms 23 calls the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't matter how much weight you can lift. You know what's going to help you? Your faith in God and how powerful that is. How strong you understand that God is. Lord, help us to know that there is power in faith. I want you to look at the book of 1 Timothy, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verse 7 through 11. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 11, the Bible says this: "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach." Now, there's an awful lot of people out there whose favorite verse is the beginning of verse 8, amen? "For bodily exercise profiteth little." Amen? There's a lot of people, that's their favorite verse. Maybe they refuse to keep their appetite in check or whatever. But the truth here is this, of that verse, it's not saying that it's wrong for someone to exercise bodily. No, I think there's a lot of right things. We are to be good stewards of our body. We are to care for our body. The better we care for our body, the more we can serve the Lord. The later in life, we'll be able to do that by God's grace. But we need to understand this and understand the power of faith. This verse is in no way saying that a person should not exercise, should not keep our bodies in check. But what it is saying is this: when bodily exercise physically is compared to the exercising of our faith, bodily exercise is worth far less. Far less. It will accomplish far less. In verse 21 of Hebrews chapter 11, notice, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying." It's talking about his faith at the end of his life. Now, something that every one of us would understand and believe to be true is this, that when a person is elderly and they are on the verge of death, passing into heaven, they are not known for their physical capabilities at that time, being able to live this much at that age and all of that. No, many times the body is growing weak. The Bible says that's going to happen. Our bodies break down. We all know that. But the truth of the matter is this, though our physical body is going to break down, that doesn't mean the power and strength in our faith has to break down. It doesn't have to. No, we can stay strong. Speaking of our faith can be strong. Jacob here was not in his prime, physically speaking. But we see that his faith was as strong as it ever was, if not stronger. Not because of his physical strength, but because of his faith in God. You know, Jacob's physical body was weak. We see there at the end of that verse that it says this, leaning upon the top of his staff. Why was he leaning on his staff? Because he couldn't hold himself up physically. He needed help. His physical strength was lacking, but the power of his faith was strong. It can be that way if we are following the Lord. Jacob's physical body was weak. His strength was nearly gone, yet he was able to bless his children and his grandchildren because of his faith. Something that we are all going to face, barring the rapture or early death, is the breakdown of the body. We will all get to the point in which we cannot do certain things, and the devil would like nothing more than for us to get discouraged and to have the mindset that says, well, if I can't do that, if I can't do what I've always done, then I'm not going to do anything. That's what the devil would like our minds to say. But it shouldn't be that way. The will of God for our lives is to stay busy for Him up until death. God's will is that we would see that there is power in our faith, whether or not we have the strength in the physical body, whether or not we can still do all of the things we used to do. Keep doing the things that God gives you to do. The physical strength that God gives you, use that for Him. When God sees fit to take away some physical strength, find out what God wants you to do next. Because we all have something that we can do. Something that a person of faith can always do is pray. You know, there's many times, of course, Saturday mornings, we go out as a group and we go out and knock on doors. And there's many people that, physically speaking, they cannot do that. And I understand that. But you know what you can do for us is pray for us. Because we need the Lord's help. Every single time we go out, we need the Lord's power. We need the Lord's wisdom. We need the Lord to touch our speech, to help us. Listen, it's a great thing that the Lord is doing through Grace Baptist Church. I'm excited about seeing what the Lord's doing. And we're seeing people get saved. And we're seeing, of course, baptisms and the church growing. It's a wonderful thing to serve the Lord together. However, in every church that is thriving, there are individuals that physically just cannot do what others can do. Some who cannot walk door to door. Some cannot put forth that physical effort. For some, it's physically impossible for them to do that. And in no way does that mean that they cannot be used by God. Because the truth of the matter is this. Some of the best Christians that I know, the most faithful Christians that I know, you know what they were doing? They were praying. Though they couldn't go, they could go to God for us. And they were faithful at that. They were prayer warriors. What a wonderful thing that is. Maybe that's you here today. Maybe there's some things that you just cannot do physically. Can I plead with you to pray for us? Continue beseeching the Lord on the church's behalf. We need people of prayer. We need people with powerful faith. Our work for the Lord is never limited by physical strength. It's limited by the lack of faith. Understand, there's always something we can do for the Lord. Physical strength may limit your task, but it should never limit your faith. Lord, help us. For those of us who have the physical strength to go to work, to witness, to put our feet to the ground and our hand to the plow. Understand, the ones who can no longer physically go are praying for you to have the strength to go. But in order for us to have the strength to go, we also need to have the willingness to go. Let's have the willingness to serve the Lord and the power of our faith. Do not allow their prayers to be in vain. Let's have powerful faith. Not only the powerful faith of Jacob, notice this also, the possession of Jacob's faith. The possession of Jacob's faith. Look at verse 21, if you will, of Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped." As we discussed a few moments ago, of course, Jacob received the birthright when Isaac was lied to and gave the birthright to Jacob instead of Esau. And Jacob, who received a double portion, was then responsible for that portion that he received. And it's amazing how God works. God planned for that double portion, and that double portion was received through man's failure, but it was received in the plan of God. Amen. And God knew exactly what was going to happen. Look at Genesis chapter 27, if you will, and we'll see what God was doing with that double portion that was given to Jacob. Genesis chapter 27. Look at verse 21 through verse 24. Then we're going to look over at Genesis chapter 49 as well. Genesis 27, verse 21 through 24, the Bible says, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am." So notice here, there was deception that was going on. He put this animal fur there on his arms, so that when his blind father felt his arms, he thought it was Esau. He received this double portion of the inheritance. That's what we're seeing going on here. And then over there in Genesis 49, notice Genesis 49 and verse 22, it talks about this double portion that was given there. Genesis 49 and verse 22. That passage we just read in Genesis 27, it talks about how he blessed him. That's speaking of that birthright, that double portion. Genesis 49 verse 22, the Bible says this, "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall." This blessing is the double portion that Jacob received. Notice, his brother only received a single portion. Joseph's brothers, of course, Joseph was went into Egypt and was sold into slavery, and a whole lot of things happened there. But he became second in command in Egypt, and then Joseph had two sons. He received these two sons, of course, from God Himself. God blessed him with these children, and that double portion from Jacob that was given to Joseph was able to go to the two sons of Joseph. You don't think God had a plan in mind? That double portion went right to the very sons of Joseph. God knew there was going to be two sons that were going to be the tribes of Israel. God knew they were going to be there, looked far into the future and said, this is what's going to happen. And through man's failures, God continued to work, and that double portion was given to the sons of Joseph. What an amazing truth that is. Joseph followed the Lord. We do not see that Joseph forgot God or neglected God. We see that Joseph is known for his faithfulness. He was hated by his brothers. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold into slavery. He worked for Potiphar in Egypt. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. He was imprisoned there. He was forgotten about in prison. And through all of that, Joseph remained faithful. He remained faithful. Not because of the things that went right or wrong, but because his faith was not rooted in man. He possessed a faith that was different. Hopefully each and every one of us possess a faith that is different. If you possess a faith that is in anything other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you that your faith is wavering. Because it's not settled on the rock of our salvation. It's not settled on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He is God and who changes not. If your faith is settled on anything else, whether it be a certain individual, some people, they have their faith based on their parents. Well, my parents are saved. That means I'm saved. Or my grandpa was a preacher. That means I must be saved. Well, I go to such and such church, so I must be saved. I was raised in church. I know what the Bible says. So I must be going to heaven. No, if your faith is based on any of those things, you're on your way to hell this morning. Our faith is only to be found in Christ. It's not to be found in anything that man can do, but in what Christ already did. Joseph here had a faith. He possessed a faith that was rooted in God. It was not rooted in what others thought about him. The others, they hated him. They falsely accused him. They had him thrown in prison. It wasn't found in who his family was. His own brothers betrayed him. But he had a faith that was the same faith that his father possessed in the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They never forgot about him. Even in the darkest prison, God knew where Joseph was. He knew that. And when the time of the Lord's will had come, God rewarded Joseph for his faithfulness. And that double portion that Jacob possessed was passed down to Joseph. And when Joseph proved himself to be faithful, the Lord blessed him with two sons to whom that double portion would go to as well. It would be divided between them to those tribes. The Lord did great things to the faith of Jacob because he possessed faith that was rooted in Christ. It wasn't rooted in man. Fathers and mothers here today, understand that there is so much more to pass on to our children than worldly possessions. So much more that we can do for our children than just to give them things that moth and rust doth decay, is what the Bible says. It doesn't matter what it is here on this earth; it is breaking down. This world is not getting better. When people say, "Well, this all happened because of evolution," I say, "Okay, well, if evolution makes things better, what's happening to our world? What's happening to our planet? What's happening to the universe?" No, everything is breaking down. It's all in God's calendar. It's all heading in that direction. That's what's happening. If we focus on passing things down to our children that are breaking down, then we've missed the mark. It's not wrong to leave things for our family. No, it's actually biblical to do that. But the best thing we can leave is a faith that we possess, and showing them how they can possess that exact same faith. Letting them know that no matter what happens, mom and dad are trusting the Lord. No matter what happens, they can look back and see that though they went through hard times, grandma and grandpa never gave up on God. Though there were times in which they questioned what was going to be next, they can remember walking in and seeing grandma and grandpa praying. They can see mom and dad praying together. They can see mom on her knees praying for them as her children, or dad praying for them as his children, and saying, "Lord, save their souls, do great things through them." There are so much greater things to pass down to our children than just earthly things. The faith that we possess as well. And that's what Jacob was passing down here. Would to God that we would possess a faith that impacts our children and our grandchildren, impacts those around us. The Lord can and will do great things through us if we possess that faith. But the only way to possess that faith is to first of all be saved. Trust Christ as your personal Savior, and then live for Him. And when you make a mistake, which we will, because every one of us make mistakes. We've all made mistakes today, amen. We are a people that are full of mistakes. But when we make mistakes, confess that to God. Continue down the path of living a life of faith. So first of all, we see the power of Jacob's faith. Then we see the possession of Jacob's faith. And lastly, I want us to look at this, the perseverance of his faith. It says here in our passage there at the end, it says, "And worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff." You know, each one of us, as we look at this passage here, we can see the picture that's being drawn for us. We can see a man that is obviously in his older age there, and his physical strength is not what it should be, and he's leaning upon the top of his staff due to a lack of physical strength there, but he was persevering. He wasn't giving up. There's a person who's known as Clint Courtney. Does anybody know the name Clint Courtney? He was a baseball player, and if you don't know who he is, well, don't bother looking at the Baseball Hall of Fame because he's not there. Don't worry about not knowing who he is because most people don't know the name Clint Courtney. In fact, it's very doubtful that his picture ever appeared on any bubblegum cards. This guy he wasn't a legend in his own time, and he wasn't even a legend in his own mind. But he was a memory maker for his family and a few diehard fans who were inspired by his fortitude. Now, Clint played catcher for the Baltimore Orioles in the 1950s. During his career, he earned the nickname Scrap Iron. There's a name, amen. Implying that he was hard and weathered and tough. Old Scrap Iron broke no records, only broke some bones. He had little power, little speed on the base paths. As for grace and style, he made the easiest play look rather difficult. But armed with a mitt and a mask, Scrap Iron never flinched from any challenge. Batters would often miss the ball and taunt his shin with their bat. Their foul tips always nipped the edge of his elbow. Runners would fiercely plow into him, spikes first, as he was defending the home plate. Though often doubled over in agony, he was flattened in a heap of dust many times, Clint Courtney never quit. Invariably, he'd slowly get up. He would shake off the dust. He would punch the pocket of his mitt once, twice, and then nod to the pitcher to throw another one. This game would go on, and Courtney would go on with it. Scarred and bruised and clutching his arm in pain, he determined to continue. Many games Clint Courtney played with tape and splints and braces and other kinds of paraphernalia, if you will, that wounded people would wear. Some made fun of him, calling him insane. But the ones who watched him play remember him as a true champion. Not because of the absence of adversity, but because of his faithfulness through it. He never gave up. He never reached a point at which he said, "That's enough. I'm leaving this game." He kept going. There were scars there. This man was known for broken bones in his arms and his ribs and his legs, and yet he kept playing. He was faithful. He was perseverant, wasn't he? As we read of our Baptist forefathers, we read of missionaries of times past, we read of faithful preachers and pastors and evangelists and ones like that. We read their biographies and autobiographies, and something that we read many times is how they had struggles that came into their lives. They had things that would come in to their life that reading it, we would think to ourselves, how would they even continue through that? But yet continuing through that book or through that tribute to their life, we would see they did remain faithful. How did they do that? Because their faith was not founded in man. They were determined because of their faith in God that they were going to persevere. Didn't matter what came their way. At the end of verse 21, we can see that the Lord has given us a picture here. It's important for us to understand the truth that is being proclaimed when it says, leaning upon his staff. Genesis chapter 48, notice the Bible says this in verse 10. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 10. Genesis chapter 48 and verse 10. Jacob, of course, also known as Israel, speaking of the same man here. Genesis 48, verse 10, it says, "Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them." That's speaking of the children of Joseph. Brought them near to this man Jacob. He kissed them and embraced them. "And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. Joseph brought them out from between his knees and bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand and toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near to him. Israel stretched out his hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, and the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named upon them, and let the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his hands upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head and unto Manasseh. And it goes on down through here, but notice verse 19. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh, and set Ephraim before Manasseh. What do we see here with this man Jacob, also known as Israel? We see that he's at the end of his life. His eyes were dim. His own grandsons were standing before him, and he couldn't tell one from the other because of his blindness. And at that time in which he could have just said, well, I don't know. I've been faithful to God. I don't know why he took my eyesight. I've been faithful to God. I don't know why I can't even see my own grandchildren. I don't know why the Lord would do this. In the human mind, he would have had every right to say things like that. But that's not what he did. Instead, because he was persevering, he continued to stand for truth. He continued to live a life of faith. Even though there were decisions that he made that other people did not agree with, he said, no, this is the right decision. This is what God wants me to do. He was nearing the time of death, and he was old. He had seen a lot of things. He had been through a lot, and yet he stayed faithful. The picture that's drawn here is that though he's weak, though his physical body could not hold itself up any longer, though he had to use a staff to get around, he would continue serving the Lord, continue worshiping the Lord, continue blessing others with his faith. We see here that he was persevering. He was unwilling to stop serving the Lord because he had what some people would say, served their time. Heard people say before, well, I served the Lord growing up, but I've retired from that. What a sad statement that is. We should all be serving the Lord. Every single day, serving the Lord with the breath that we have left. But Jacob knew something that we should all know, and that is this, that every one of us should serve the Lord every day like it's our last day. I would rather see someone serving the Lord with my eyes and staying faithful to the Lord day in and day out than I would see a person who's always talking about what they do for God with their words, but you never see any fruit from it. That's not persevering in the faith. Persevering in the faith is giving God the glory. Every single day, this is what God wants me to do. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to be a witness. I'm going to live a life of faith before the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning. You've been through some heartache. You've been through some pain. You've been through some difficulty. Can I encourage you today to not allow yourself to get weary in well-doing? Bible says that we shall reap if we faint not. Let's continue to be faithful. Continue to serve the Lord. Continue to see that there is power in our faith, that we have a possessive faith in the Lord, and we can have a persevering faith as Jacob had as well. But we must be faithful. Let's have a powerful, a possessive, and a persevering faith till the Lord comes. Amen. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do that. And let's not allow our physical incapabilities keep us from serving the Lord. We can all do something.